Hey, what's going on? This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Wednesday, August 28th, and yeah, I'm Jeff. I'm back on this podcast, and actually probably should fill you in on what's going on, because if you're subscribed to this feed, you already saw early in the week, Mike Randall, Adam Pfeiffer stopped by. So this show is transitioning a little bit here in 2024. It's not just me. If you're looking for that, we will have that. We do have that. It's called The Rant. It's the podcast that got taken away from me and then I got it back. I explained the whole thing in the first episode that I did. Man, was that in July? I guess it was in July that I did that. Time flies, man. So if that's what you're looking for, go subscribe to that. The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. That's me. And you'll get me several days a week. Usually it's going to be about four times a week during the NFL season. And then we'll see what we'll do in the offseason. But I'm not taking time off in the offseason anymore. This year, well, there was a lot of moving pieces behind the scenes. But the good news is that I'm going to be on this weekly as well, this feed. So will Mike Randall. You're going to hear at least two episodes a week going through the NFL season. And, you know, same old stuff that you're used to from FTN. But you're going to get exposed to a couple different hosts, and not willing to tell you who it is yet, but starting next week, I'm going to have a co-host along for the ride as well. Oh yeah, me. Imagine that, with a co-host. So just filling you in there, just, you know, obviously just stay tuned to this feed. It'll be a little bit different because it's not just me solo, but today it will just be me solo. So here's what we're going to do today. I want to talk through some waiver wire stuff as we're heading towards the start of the season. We're 8 days out, and I wanted to talk briefly about some strategy here, go through the four skill positions and see who might be available. That doesn't mean we have to run out and get them. And really quickly, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this on The Rant today, because I'm also doing one of those podcasts. But Dalvin Cook, there really isn't any value, because I know that question is going to be asked. If anything, it really just confirms my take on the Dallas Cowboys backfield that it's a bit of a mess. Like, I still don't think it takes anything away from Rico Dowdle having a little bit of upside. Ezekiel Elliott still figures to be the goal line back, but it's a bit of a mess, unfortunately. So let me quickly address the idea of working the waiver wire before the start of the season. The number one thing I will say is be careful. Be careful. Don't use it to fix mistakes that you made during the draft, because you're probably going to create more mistakes. You're probably going to create other gaps on your roster. If you made a mistake during your draft, make a note of it and try and avoid it for next year. Like, that's so important, because I will see people continually make the same mistakes over and over and over every single year. And it makes sense, because, I mean, heck, you draft in August. Your season runs through January, and even by January, a lot of people forget what they did in drafts. Then you got to get all the way back around to the next August, a year later, you're going to forget most of this crap, most of the mistakes you make. It just happens. Now, you may be in a situation, though, where you didn't make a mistake. Maybe you drafted AJ Dillon or Elijah Mitchell or somebody like that who's on injured reserve, or maybe you took a shot on somebody who ultimately got cut. Probably would be a deeper league. Like, I'm thinking like Deontay Foreman, although he could come back to the roster for the Cleveland Browns. But maybe it's somebody who now it appears like they're buried on a depth chart, or whatever it is. You just kind of made a pick that didn't work out, and you already know that it isn't going to work out. Well, you can address that. You absolutely can. I am very cautious when it comes to waivers before the season starts, or even over the first couple weeks of the season, because I drafted my players for a reason, and I like to see that reason play out. And that does require patience. Like, I know we're 8 days away from the start of the season. We're anxious here. We want the season to start. We want to make moves. But the reality is, like, if you drafted your players for a reason or several reasons, then you really should see that play out. Now, if you didn't draft players for a reason, that is your starting spot. That's where you got to go to. But let's get into it. So the criteria that I'm going to use, and you're going to see this in the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com, that'll be out to start next week. And then every week, it'll be updated, ready to roll for you. It'll have ownership percentage, though. And as of right now, I'm going to use ESPN and Yahoo. If I can get my hands on Sleeper in an easy format, then I'll have Sleeper as well. It's not as easy to get that with speed. Having to hand compile all that stuff will take forever. So we'll see what we can do. But definitely, you know, you get a pretty good sense of rostership across ESPN and Yahoo. and I'm looking at guys who are under 70% rostered, that'll give us an indication of who may be available in your leagues. And hey, you might be in a very advanced league where somebody like, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, for example, he's 66% rostered. He's not available in your league. I get that. So we'll try and cast a wide net in the waiver wire tool for sure. But here, just want to toss out a few names that, you know, maybe are available if I really don't think that anybody screwed up at quarterback. You know, this year there's no major injuries, and like knock on wood with that. The guys who we expected to be ready for the start of the season look like they're all going to be ready. Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, even Watson. Now, Watson is only 38% rostered, Deshaun Watson. So he's out there in a lot of leagues. Trevor Lawrence is 48% rostered. He's out there in a lot of leagues as well. I'm not going to overthink things. Like if I drafted Tua, okay, cool. I could have drafted Watson. I didn't. I drafted Tua. Therefore, I'm sticking. Like I find that a lot of fantasy managers will think themselves into corners with this sort of thing. And really, like if you drafted the guy who was highest ranked on draft day, then just stick with it because those rankings haven't changed. But just tossing it out there that Lawrence and Watson are interesting. Lawrence gets Miami. Watson gets Dallas in week one. That's not really optimal for him. But that Miami game could potentially be a decent scoring game. We'll keep an eye on some of the rookies. Like, you know, Bo Nix is only rostered in 12% of leagues. We'll see how he does to start the season. The Pittsburgh situation is still a mess. The New England situation is still a mess. So there really isn't a lot of opportunity at quarterback as of right now. But let's move over to running back and start to take a peek here. So let me just address first and foremost, like if you had Elijah Mitchell to handcuff Christian McCaffrey, well, then the first move would be to check and see if Jordan Mason is out there. He should be in a lot of leagues, but he isn't out there in every league. Let's acknowledge that. Let's see, on ESPN right now, and this is about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast, he's only rostered in 7% of leagues. So you could, in a lot of leagues, drop Elijah Mitchell for Jordan Mason and be just fine. Now, let's say for the sake of the argument, though, because I know this is going to come up, let's say that Jordan Mason is rostered. What do you do now? Well, I would just drop Elijah Mitchell for somebody else. It doesn't have to be a handcuff. You don't always have to handcuff. Like, it's nice to have a handcuff, but you don't always have to handcuff. So going, if I go under 70%, like Blake Corum is there. I mean, you may see a little bit more work with him. I'm not overly concerned about the punt return thing for Kyren Williams, by the way. He's 68%, 66% for Trey Benson, 64% for Zach Charbonnet. These are all backups though. So you're picking up a backup. Like you're not going to get somebody who's going to be a starter caliber. Tyler Allgeier, 60%. Chuba Hubbard though, is one that does stand out to me, at least as a short-term starter. Like if for some reason you needed that short-term starter, maybe you drafted Jonathan Brooks. Well, Chuba Hubbard is only rostered in 53% of leagues. So much less rostered than Brooks is actually. Brooks is at 81%. Chuba is going to be the lead back for the first at least 4 weeks of the season, because Brooks is on NFI, basically the PUP list, but non-football injury list. So he's out for at least 4 weeks. Going down a little bit further, Ty Chandler, they only have two running backs in the Minnesota backfield. So he's 48%. Antonio Gibson gives you a little bit of passing down ability at 44%. Rico Dowdle, who I mentioned earlier, 33%. But that's like that's more of an upside lottery ticket. Same thing with Jaleel McLaughlin at 32%. These guys are out there. Now, let me get to Marshawn Lloyd. So he's at 32% as well. A.J. Dillon is on season-ending injured reserve. So Dillon will not be back this season. If you drafted him to cuff Josh Jacobs, then you could go for Marshawn Lloyd. If you're looking for, you know, deep implied value, then you can go Marshawn Lloyd as well, even if you don't have Jacobs. But just be aware, he's going to be way behind Jacobs. So it's only implied value. The only time he actually has real value is if Jacobs went down with an injury. Little bit deeper names, some young guys. Jalen Wright is 22%. Another like scratch off lottery ticket. Same thing with Ray Davis. He's only 11% rostered. The Buffalo backfield is interesting because they didn't give James Cook goal line work last year. I don't know if that changes this year. So you could look up those guys. But again, no need to make these moves. But if there is an opening on your roster, or like let's say you had somebody like Jonathan Brooks that you're able to put on an IR spot and you have an open bench spot, you could backfill with one of these names. One thing also that is alarming to me, so Breece Hall is like 99.9% rostered, right? It is funny that he's not 100%, but regardless, Braylon Allen is only rostered in 8.4% of leagues, which says that there's a lot of Breece Hall managers out there who did not handcuff him. And like I said, handcuffing isn't 100% necessary. It isn't. But if you draft a guy in the first round, I would really want to protect that investment with a handcuff. All right, let me move over to wide receiver here. And wide receiver, obviously, we're going to have to scroll down a good bit before we get below that 70% threshold. And when I'm looking for these guys, I want ceiling. So like Darnell Mooney at 62%. If he, for some reason, went undrafted, you got a nice ceiling with him. Much better ceiling than somebody who's rostered in the same range, Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen is 55% rostered. Mooney's ceiling is significantly higher. So he'd be somebody I'd be looking for if I have an open roster spot. And again, that's all that matters. We're not doing these moves, and I cannot emphasize this enough. We're not doing these moves just for the sake of doing them. This is for if you have an open roster spot due to injury or you miscalculated or something like that, you're not just doing these moves for the sake of doing them. Then let's go down a little bit further. Gabe Davis is 42% rostered. I think you have to know what you're signing up for Gabe Davis. He's volatile, as we know, but he does have a high ceiling. Romeo Doubs, 36% rostered. That's actually pretty surprising here. He could very well be the lead in terms of snap share. He may not have the highest fantasy ceiling among the Green Bay Packers wideouts, but he is interesting. A.D. Mitchell, 33%. Also right there, Xavier Leggett, 35%. Leggett may not, and neither one of them may not have a large role early, but their roles should develop and expand over the course of the season for both of those rookies on their respective depth charts. A lot of guys down here are guys who I was definitely avoiding. It looks like a lot of other managers were. Like some of these avoids were like Josh Palmer and Khalil Shakir, Marvin Mims, Jahan Dotson, even with the trade, avoiding those guys. How about this though? All the way down at 8% rostered, Ricky Pearsall. Now, I don't think that anything is going to change with Brandon Ayuk. I think Brandon Ayuk is going to be there. Eventually, this deal is going to get done. But Pearsall, I don't think the rule is going to be that consistent. So this has to be a very deep league. And he may be rostered in a deep league as it is, but there is at least opportunity for him in an explosive offense. Luke McCaffrey, 6%. Like, he's a dart throw if he has a role this season, but I don't mind his ceiling as well. Then it really thins out. I mean, it is tougher at wide receiver. You're going to find at least some interesting names at running back, but wide receiver is a little tough. I do want to mention the name Jordan Whittington, though. He did make the roster for the Rams. He had a great preseason. He's kind of, you know, hopes are that he's like another Puka Nacua, but there's one difference between him and Nacua. Nacua was obviously starting from the jump last year. When we came out of camp, we knew he was going to be a starter. That is not going to be the case for Jordan Whittington. The starters are Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and DeMarcus Robinson. So as long as DeMarcus Robinson is there, there's really no pathway for Jordan Whittington to get on the field. So if you drafted him in a deep league, you're probably not going to see good stat lines early in the season. Keep that in mind. Like, and I think this is an important question just to ask in general. Did I draft this player for week one, week two, or did I draft this player for 2024, right? And maybe you did draft the player for week one or week two. Heck, I drafted a defense for week one, and then I'm going to move on from that defense after week one. In pretty much every instance, all my streamers are going to run into tougher matchups in week two. Maybe that's the case. But somebody like Jordan Whittington, I mean, we know he's not going to start, so we're not drafting him for week one or week two. We're drafting him for down the line. And he is one injury away from a prominent role in a good offense. He also could work his way past DeMarcus Robinson over the course of the season. So that is noteworthy there as well. Okay, moving over to tight end. And tight end. We don't have to scroll down too far to see guys who aren't 70% rostered. For example, Pat Freiermuth is 65%. Cole Kmet is 49%. Those guys are pretty volatile. Freiermuth may not have an every down role. Same thing with Kmet, based on what we have seen in the preseason. So I'd be careful with those guys. But if your league, and I'm on ESPN, has Taysom Hill as a tight end, which he should be a tight end because he's not a quarterback, He's 35% rostered on ESPN. That's a sneaky one right there, especially with his role in the Kubiak offense. Like he could be like Kyle Juszczyk plus, if that makes sense. Like, he's not quite a tight end. He's not quite a fullback. You know, he's kind of like that H back. But then Taysom is more than that, because sure, he's going to take a couple snaps at quarterback, and he isn't just a wildcat guy. He could throw it a little bit if you need him to. He's going to line up in the slot. He's going to line up on the perimeter. He's all over the place. And the simple fact of the matter is, and we know the volatility with him, but he's also a tight end who could potentially touch the ball like 10 times in a game, like, which is crazy for a tight end. So 35% is under rostered for him. After that, it does get ugly very quickly. Maybe Hunter Henry is at least intriguing enough at 9% rostered, Luke Musgrave at 7% rostered, Ben Sinnott at 9% rostered. Like, these would be, if I wanted to just shoot for the moon at tight end and I had a deep enough bench that I could roster two. Most of us do not have a deep enough bench that we can roster two. So hopefully you already shot for the moon on one of these guys. But like, if I had like Tyler Conklin, I really don't think there's a high ceiling with him. And so he wasn't on my draft list. He was on my avoids. If you wound up with him, I mean, I'd rather just shoot for a higher ceiling with Taysom Hill, or if I got to go a little bit further down, then Hunter Henry at least has some touchdown appeal. Luke Musgrave has a higher ceiling. I would probably go that direction as opposed to, Tyler Conklin. Funny, Darren Waller is 3% rostered. I guess nobody got that memo. Tight end's going to be a mess, though, for a bulk of the season. Our whole goal is really just going to be, trying to stream as much as possible. So again, a short one today. Just wanted to rip through that. Moral of the story, if you don't have to make a move, don't make a move. Like, that is the moral of the story in fantasy football in general. Just because you're active doesn't mean you're good. You know, like, the people who are most active think that that's the way you have to play. You don't have to be the most active. You have to be the most prepared. And knowing the players is part of that preparation. So know what you got yourself into on draft day. But if you have any holes, there are players available. So I would go out, do that sooner rather than later, so that your opponents don't beat you to the punch. Like, if you got stuck with AJ Dillon, like, you don't even have to put him on IR. He's not playing this season. Cut him. And it's, even in a keeper, like, you're not keeping AJ Dillon next year. You aren't keeping Elijah Mitchell next year, so you can cut him as well. Any of those guys can get cut loose and then just backfill that roster spot. All right. So again, here's the general pathway. Each week on Monday morning, you're going to get a podcast on this feed. Mike Randall and company will recap what went down on Sunday and give you like instant feedback, instant information so that you can process everything. Cause I know, hey, it's hard to watch every single game. It is really hard to watch every single game. So that's what we're here for. So Monday mornings, you'll keep your eye out for that. Then on Wednesdays, it'll be Wednesday afternoons, I'll come around with yet to be named co-host, and we'll set you up for the week with some of the key topics. We'll be a shorter podcast. That's what this has always been. It'll be a shorter podcast, but we'll rip through some key topics as rankings will be in place, and we're working our way towards that first game of the week on Thursdays. So two episodes a week of this show. If you want more of me and you're not listening on the SiriusXM channel 87, then go subscribe to The Rant. That is my podcast. Just me, rolling solo, okay? We have a lot of other great podcasts as well. I recommend specifically checking out Jake Seeley's podcast, All In. You want to check out For the Numbers, that podcast with Adam Pfeiffer. We have our Dynasty podcast with Pope. There's so many. Aaron Schatz's podcast is great. Chris Meany's podcast is great. We have a great baseball podcast, a great basketball podcast. So, you know, get a little more FTN in your life. Also, go check out the website, ftnfantasy.com. You can use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And good news, if you're already a subscriber, people have been asking for this forever. It's finally there. We have a merch store. And in the merch store, yeah, there's like FTN gear. There's a DVOA t-shirt for the stat heads out there. But there is also Rat Pack gear. There's a Rat Pack sweatshirt with the logo inspired by the Wu-Tang logo. So go check that out. They're selling like hotcakes. But hey, the more of that we sell, the more fun stuff that we'll be able to do, like t-shirt wise and whatnot. It's not just going to have the FTN logo, although the FTN logo, just the FTN logo without the letters, we have that on a couple hoodies. It really looks good. It's an awesome sweatshirt. I have one. I have a hoodie, a white one with the blue logo, and I get stopped anytime I wear it. People are like, yo, what is that logo? That's awesome. Yes, it is. And it's FTN. So go check that out as well. Otherwise, you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. I'll be posting a rant pod today as well. So go over there. I'm going to break down roster cutdowns, the key roster cuts and what the heck they mean, plus that Dalvin Cook signing and a few other things as well. All right. That's going to do it for me. Like I said, keep your eyes peeled for the next episode. That'll likely be coming from Mike Randall. And then next week on Wednesday, it's about to go down, baby. Week one is here. All right, that does it for me. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out. Thank you.